Okay, let us continue. We started last week with the beginning. It's the same story as last week. We started last week just introducing the idea, the concept, that not only is there an iser to actually mix basar and chalav together, there's also an iser to mix the taste of basar and the taste of chalav together. And we illustrated that through the Gemara in Chulin, and the primary example of this would be if you have, say, some type of sauce which is cooking for your fettuccine alfredo, which is obviously going to be filled with all kinds of milky ingredients. There'll be milk in there, perhaps there'll be butter in there, perhaps there could be cheese in there, heavy cream, whatever else you put in there to make your cream. Now, a piece of meat falls in there. Now, it cooks there for some time, then you pull it out. So there's no meat left inside the actual sauce, but you have tambas, so that's a problem. That's a problem, you can't eat it. Now, how we determine if you have the taste there, that's a discussion. And last week we said sometimes you actually give it to someone to taste it. If you can't do that, you're going to use the number of 60. How do you give it to someone to taste it? If it's shumi, give it to a kayin. If it's something which is not kosher, give it to a non-Jewish professional chef. And if it can't be tasted, you use the measurement of shishim. We also mentioned the concept of nisin tam lefgam, that after a certain point in time, that you have tam, you have flavor, which is absorbed into something, it goes bad. Now, that's really the second halacha of nisin tam lefgam, but the first halacha of nisin tam lefgam is, if you have a mixture of something, which would be usr. So say you have a pot which is cooking and something falls in there, but the tam that it adds, the flavor that it adds, is a sour taste. It's a negative addition to the food. It doesn't taste good. That would not be a problem. Similarly, which brings to the halacha we mentioned before, that after a certain point in time that you have flavor absorbed into something, it becomes pagum. So now what's the example of that? That's where the concept of Eina V'Nyayme comes in. Something which has not been used that day. So you have a keli, you have a pot, or a spoon, or something that was used to cook meat. Now, what we're going to assume here is that the meat flavor is going to be absorbed into that pot. That's called a blia. If the pot is bailea, the pot swallows, absorbs into it the flavor of the food that's cooking in it. After a 24-hour period, that flavor starts to go sour. That's called nisin tam lefgam. Now, subsequently, anything that you're going to cook in that pot is going to get a sour flavor. So again, very simple. You cook meat, chicken soup in a pot. So you have chicken cooking there. The chicken gives a flavor into the pot. Take out the chicken soup, and now you cook something else in that pot. We're going to get the flavor of the chicken soup in the next dish. After 24 hours, the flavor that is going to be expelled from the pot into your next dish is going to be tam pagum, and it won't be a problem. Now, let us begin, again, the sugya of Nat Bar Nat. Source number 7. Amar Chizkia, Mishum Abaya, Hilchasa, Dagim Sh'olo, Bekairo, Mutter loichla mekutach. This Gemara really starts earlier, but we saw it's machlekes. Machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, but the Gemara is paskening like Shmuel that dogim she'alu bekara. What does that mean? You have fish. Fish are parav. Fish can be mixed with milk, and they can be eaten with meat. Now there is a sakana issue of eating it with meat, but theoretically it's parav. So then you have dogim she'alu bekara. You have dogim, fish that were served on a kara, on a dish. The dish in this case is a meat dish. So you serve fish straight off the grill, a nice hot piece of fish straight off the grill, onto a fleshig plate. The halacha is, mutter loichla mekutach, you're allowed to eat that fish with a dairy dip. Kutach is a dip which is made out of dairy, so you're allowed to take dairy and put it on top of that piece of fish. Despite the fact that that piece of fish was served on a fleshig dish, you're still allowed to eat that piece of fish with dairy. Okay, so very clear. You have a piece of hot fish, goes on a fleshig plate. You're still allowed to eat that piece of fish with dairy. Now, you're not going to want to put the dairy on your fleshig plate, obviously, because it's a fleshig plate. But you're allowed to take that piece of fish off the fleshig plate and dip it into a dairy sauce. All right, modern day application of that would be you have macaroni, which is served in a fleshig dish. You can take the macaroni off the fleshig dish and put cheese in it. Okay? Make sense? That's the original case.
Doesn't matter if that dip is hot or cold at that point?
The dip makes no difference, no. What we also mentioned was, this was from the Ran, that this whole idea only works with basar b'chalav, or anything which is hetera. So, the idea of the lamdas is as follows. If I have flavor from my plate that went into the fish, so that flavor is not strong enough to create a brand new iser. As we said, basar b'chalav, you're taking two items which are perfectly kosher. Glatt kosher meat and chalav Yisrael milk. Absolutely 100% kosher according to everybody. Now there's an unbelievable thing that happens when you mix the two of them together, it becomes basar b'chalav and you're not allowed to eat it. The halacha that those two things create an iser has to be, is only accomplished if you have physical basar and physical chalav. But if you only have a tam of basar, which is going to be a weak tam because it traveled through a plate in the middle, that's not enough to create basar b'chalav. Now, we're getting to the other discussion over here of actually analyzing and looking very carefully at the words in the Gemara. The Gemara said, Dagim sha'alu b'kaira. You have fish which were served on a dish. So now, fish is served on a dish. Why doesn't it just say a case of fish that was cooked or grilled in a pot that was used for meat? Why do we have to be discussing a case where the fish was taken off the grill and then put onto a fleshy plate? Why don't we just talk about a case where you have a piece of fish that you cooked in a pot or you fried it in a pot or you put it into the oven inside some type of tray that was fleshy? Why doesn't it say that? Says the Rivan in source number 9. Sorry, not source number 9, source number 10. The Rivan says the Gemara was specifically talking about a case where it was not cooked that way. This halacha is only true if you take something parav and serve it on a dish that's fleshik. In such a case, you're allowed to add cheese to it. But if it's cooked in a fleshik pot, you can't add cheese. So getting back to our modern-day application, macaroni, which is parav, cooked in a fleshik pot, says the Rivan, you cannot add cheese to that macaroni. So you have a fleshik pot, chicken soup. You made chicken soup in the morning, or you made chalent in the morning with that pot. You take out the chalent or the chicken soup, and you wash it out. You put in water, you boil it, and you make your macaroni in that pot. The halacha is, you cannot, says the Rivan, you cannot add cheese to that macaroni. What's the matter?
Within the 24 hours?
We're talking about a case where it was used within 24 hours, yes. However, in source number 10 as well, which you can see it actually in the text of the Gemara on the first page of the packet, there's another black arrow over there. He says that is a problematic quote. And I should point out that the Rivan, who is making the statement, made the statement in the name of Rashi. However, and he was Rashi's son-in-law. However, Tosfos points out that Rashi himself seems to indicate not that way. Because Rashi says the only case where Shmuel is going to agree that you cannot add cheese or dip the fish into cheese is where it was cooked with another piece of meat in the pot. So, Rashi says clearly that Shmuel agrees if you have meatballs in a pot and you put macaroni in there, so you take the macaroni out, so you cannot add cheese to it, which seems to make sense. It's fleshig, right? However, if you simply cook macaroni in a fleshig pot, says Tosfos in the name of Rashi, that would be fine. So we have a dispute between this, the Balei Tosfos over here and the Rivan, what the opinion of Rashi was. According to the Rivan, if it was cooked in a pot that was fleshig, now your food is permanently fleshig. You're not allowed to add cheese to it. Tosfos, at the end, quotes Rashi saying, not that way. That if you cook macaroni in a pot that's fleshig, you're allowed to add cheese to it as long as there was no actual mamashus in the pot. Clear? The Rosh in source 11 comes out, he quotes the Sefer HaTruma, which says something which is in between. He says, you have to understand that there are three categories here. Category one, which is the easiest to deal with, is the case of the Gemara. A power of food, it's taken off of the fire, it's put onto a fleshig dish. In such a case, the Gemara is clear, it's explicit, you're allowed to mix cheese into that dish. The next case is, all the way on the other extreme, is going to be a case where you roasted something parev in a fleshig pot. So for example, a piece of fish, you roast a piece of fish, or you grill a piece of fish inside a fleshig, on a fleshig grill, or in a fleshig pot. So in other words, you take a piece of fish, you put it into a fleshig roaster, put it into your oven, and you turn the fire up. In that case, the Rivan says, no, you can't add cheese to it. Rashi seems to say, yes, you can add cheese to it. Sefer Truma says there's a category in the middle, and that is cooking. What is that case? Where you have a pot that has water in it and you cook. So that would be a case of macaroni. Why does that make a difference? Because if you think about it, you have the flavors in the pot. It needs to transfer first to the water, and then from the water into your food. So it says the Sefer HaTruma, in such a case, it would be mutter to add the cheese to it. So in other words, macaroni, which is cooked in a pot with water, that's fine to add cheese. Why? Because the flavor needs to absorb itself first in the water and then transfer to the macaroni in your pot. But to go ahead and grill something or roast something where the food directly touches the side of the pot and gets its heat directly from the pot, that is a case where the Sefer Truma says would be problematic. Okay? Now, the Sefer Truma himself asks, what do you mean? You have macaroni sitting in the pot. It's going to touch the walls as well. You don't have it. There's no divider between the... But what he says is, if you see this in source number 11, let's see it inside. Vafilu im Neymar, second line. Vafilu im Neymar, olu in, simply being served on a fleshig dish. Nitzlu lai, being roasted, would be a problem. Kishen is bashlu, when it's cooked in water, shari it's mutter. Why? Dika gimel nois netam. There are three levels in the transfer of the taste. Tama chalav bekadera. First, the chalav, the milk, lends its flavor to the pot. V'hakadera b'mayim. Now, the pot is going to expel its taste into the water. V'hamayim b'yarek. He's using an example of yarek, something else which is parav. V'aytenu heter. And he says that's the lumps, that's why it would be mutter. Because it needs to take, or this journey, this flavor needs to take a journey from the milk into the pot, from the pot into the water, from the water into your macaroni or into your vegetables. Now he asks, the gimgim adavar sheish lachash lefi shahayarek vakitnyos noigin vikadera uboilim in akdera atzma. Like we just said, you put macaroni or vegetables into your pot, it's going to touch the wall. So he says, Yafal pike nechri al hatir. Why the kivin de ikum mayim bekeli roiva tam espash of mayim? He says, the ikka really is the essential heter over here is that there's so much water in the pot that the flavor gets absorbed. That doesn't mean it's bottle, but it means that the flavor gets diluted so much that it's not going to be strong enough to create an isser. In other words, think about what's going on here. You're cooking macaroni in a pot. The macaroni is allegedly getting taste from milk that was cooked in the pot this morning. So the milk had to go into the pot. Now, from the pot into the water, now from your water into your pot, says the Sefer HaTruma, in such a case, the flavor of the water is diluted so much that it cannot create a new Isser of Basar B'chalav.
Would it matter if you boil the water first, or once it's been yama, it's still in there? It definitely goes into the water at that point. Then you add
still, the tarif. Still, it's even better because
the
tam's
already in the water.
Right, the tam, the flavor is in the water. Then you have to get that from another step now. In other words, there's only so many generations down that we can actually call this thing milk. How do we paskin? So this is how we paskin. It gets very interesting. In Siman Sadek Hey, Sif Aleph, in the Shulchan Aruch, fish, which is cooked or roasted. So you see the mechaber for the Sfardim, Veseres, if he's paskening, like the Taisvis. He's being as makel as possible. Whether it's cooked or it's roasted. Shenispashlu or shenitzlu b'kder shalbasar, ruchutzi yafa, it's washed out well. Shein shum shumun davukbas. In other words, it's talking about a case of a clean pot, and the only thing you have is flavor absorbed into the pot. Mutzer loichlum b'kutach. You're allowed to eat that fish with cheese. Mishum, tavi noisin tam, bar noisin tam, dehet teira. It is a second generation flavor of the milk, of the meat. So in this case, you have your meat, which gives flavor to the pot. And now, I think before I was mixing up the case and saying milk into the pot, but either way, the bottom line is over here, you have your meat gives flavor to the pot. You want that pot to go ahead and now give flavor to your fish, and then you want to tell me that your fish now should be called basar. That's just not going to work. In other words, again, very simple. According to the Mechaber, you have a pot which is used for meat in the morning. Now you're using it for fish. The flavor of the meat goes into the pot. The flavor of the meat comes out of the pot into the fish. But what's it called? It's called tam kalosh, a very weak taste of basar. And therefore, that very weak taste of basar is not enough to forbid you from mixing it with cheese. Stop there. Sif beis. Beitza, an egg. Shenespashav amayim bekdera chalaves. He's using this case because Tysus brought this case before. You have a case of an egg which is cooking in water in a milchig pot. Mutter losses oisabatecha tanagurus. I feel like you'd let it take that egg and stuff it into a chicken as a stuffing, even lechatchila. Aval moinespashal bekdera. And my basar feel beklipa usser. If it was actually cooked, if this egg was actually cooked with meat, so then you can no longer add milk or cheese to that egg. Okay, so according to the Mechaber, the halacha is very clear. Once the taste takes a detour through the first pot, that flavor that comes out of the pot into your power of food is not enough to make your power of food fleishig. And therefore, you can mix it with the opposite gender. So if your original pot that you used was milchig, now you cook something power in a milchig pot, take the food out of the milchig pot, you're allowed to mix it with meat. The opposite is true as well. If you cook something in a milchig pot, no, I just said that case. Cook something in a fleishig pot, and now you want to add the cheese to it, that's not a problem. So what's a classic example of this? A classic example is macaroni. We get this shayla all the time on a day-to-day basis. I cooked macaroni in the fleishig pot. I cooked macaroni in the milchig pot. So according to the Mechaber, for sure, it's going to be mutter. But the chiddush is that according to the Mechaber, you're allowed to do it lechatchila. Okay? You're allowed to take that macaroni out of your pot, lechatchila, even though the pot was used that morning. So let's give a case. You have a pot which is used in the morning for milk. You made hot cocoa in a pot. Okay, you clean out the pot, now you cook macaroni in the pot. Put the macaroni in the fridge, and now you want to add it to your meatballs for supper. Halach is, according to the Mechaber, not a problem, you can do it. Rama. V'yesh machmirim betzlia u'bishol le'esar noisin tam bar noisin tam. There are those who are machmir, he's quoting the Rivan here, in Tosfos. There are those who say not to do it. V'ha minhag, what's the minhag? Le'esar lechatchila b'diav motiv v'chol inyan. L'chatchila, don't take, according to the Rama, so for Ashkenazim, don't take your macaroni that was cooked in a milchig pot and use it for your meatballs that night. However, if you did it, you can eat it. So very important. This is mamash, practical halacha, comes up all the time. In our donut case, now someone fried donuts in a fleishig pot. Now, he wants to add dairy custard there. He wants to put custard into the donuts, and it's dairy. Can he do it? According to the Mechaber, yes. No problem. Because the flavor is already diluted in the pot, and it's going to go into your donut through the oil, and it's going to go into your donut, and even if there was no oil, the Mechaber is making even by tzliya, by roasting, you're now allowed to add the dairy custard to your donut. According to the Ashkenazim, no, don't add the dairy custard to your donut. But if you did it, you're allowed to eat the donut. Okay? So that takes care of shaila number one. Now, just point out source number 14, the Shach, he quotes the Marshal, and he says that we won't be makel by tzliya b'dieved. So in other words, a case, let's take a practical case. You have a barbecue grill, which is fleishig. You're grilling meat on it. Clean the grill off, and now you put a piece of fish on it. According to the Mechaber, you take the piece of fish off the grill, you could put cheese on top of it. Right? According to the Ramah, don't do that lechatchila. If you did it, it's fine. Says the Marshal, no. That's too far. We're not going to paskin all the way like Tosfos. The farthest we'll go is like the Sefer HaTrumah. If it was cooked, if your piece of fish was cooked in a pot where there was a liquid medium, then you could add the cheese. But if it was cooked, if it was roasted directly, placed directly in that pot, you will not be able to add cheese to it. That's how the Mishach paskins. As far as I know, that's not the minog. I remember clearly when I learned this, my Rebbe Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz said, and the Rama is saying aidus to us that the minig is not like that, because he writes about minig lesser lechatchila b'dyavad mutar b'chol inyan. That clearly was the minug. And as much as the Shach says to be machmir like the Sefer HaTruma, it seems like that was not the accepted minhug. It's a nice chumrah, but it's not the accepted minug. The Rama adds in a few details. Source number 15. V'davka lechel im chalav v'habasar atzmai v'lutim b'klisha lehem mutter l'chadchil v'chei no'agu. He says very clearly, it's very possible we'll have a minion because the Rav's giving his shir. Do you know what time it's over? I don't need to know. All right, so source number 15. That it's asr l'chadchila to mix this piece of fish or this macaroni with the opposite gender of the pot that it was cooked in, that's only to actually mix it with cheese or meat. But to put it in the opposite type of keli, that's certainly fine. So again, a person takes macaroni, he cooks it in a fleishig pot, there's no problem to eat it in a milchig bowl. That's not a problem. Next, source number 16, the chayin. Sorry. V'chein, im nisbashlu a nitzlu t'chila, im loy nisbashlu a nitzlu t'chila, rak ola b'klisha basar mutal lechal m'chalav atzme v'chein lehepach. This is the case of the Gemara, that it wasn't actually cooked in a fleishig pot, or it wasn't actually cooked in a milchig pot, it just was served, boiling hot, on a milchig or a fleishig dish. In such a case, everybody agrees that you can eat it with the opposite gender food. So again, this is the original case. Dagim sha'olu b'kaira. You have fish that is served on a plate. Now the plate is a fleishig plate. Everyone's going to agree you're allowed to eat that piece of fish with cheese. Now source number 17 is actually a very, very important line in the Rama. The chayin, im haya keli shenis bashlu, I nitzlu by lifgam shloi haya ben yomai noigen het lechatchila lechlen aminasheni. If you cooked your macaroni in a fleishig pot, but the fleishig pot is only fleishig because it was used a couple days ago, it was not used within the past 24 hours. Says the Rama lechatchila, you can eat it with aminasheni. So you let it take if it's a fleishig pot. You cook your macaroni in a fleishig pot lechatchila. You can eat that macaroni with cheese.
According to that reason, how do you ever have a fleishig pot?
Okay, so now the question.
Once it's already not been, you know, but.
Well, first of all, no one's saying that you could take a fleishig pot and cook milchigs in there.
Why not? Yeah.
Okay, so that's a different din of actually putting chalav into an ben yomai, and lechatchila we will never do that. The question here is to cook something parav. Cook something parav like macaroni in a fleishig pot. Can you go ahead and eat that with cheese? So we'll continue with the last few details next time, Mr. Shem. So again, here we have the Ramaz telling us that this whole din that we said lechatchila, according to Ashkenazim, you cannot take macaroni that was cooked in a fleishig pot and mix it with cheese. That's only talking about when the pot was used for fleishigs within that day. But if the pot had not been used for 24 hours for fleishigs, and you cook macaroni in that pot, you're allowed to add cheese to it. Now here comes a very fundamental question. How far does that go? Does that mean that I am lechatchila allowed to go ahead and cook macaroni in a pot that is generally used for fleishigs, but has not been used in the past 24 hours for fleishigs, knowing that I want to add cheese to it. So a practical case. Someone has only one very large pot in their house. They use that pot. They use that pot for meat. They cook cholent in there. They cook their chicken soup in there. Now it's Wednesday. They did not cook anything in the past couple of days in that pot. And they're having a large lunch. And everyone wants to have macaroni and cheese. So now he goes to his milchig side of the kitchen. He sees he only has small pots. Can he say, hey, the Rama said that if I cook macaroni, something parv, inside a pot, which is an einay ben yame from fleishigs, I'm allowed to go ahead and add cheese to it. So can I cook it there? L'chatchila al das kein. So this is the machlekes between the Vilna Gaon and the Chachmas Sadam. The Vilna Gaon is in the Bir Hagra. It's here in Simen Tzadik Hei, and it's in Sivkat and Yud. And he is of the opinion that yes, you're allowed to cook it there l'chatchila. The simple logic is that both the gezera not to use a kli einay ben yomei for the opposite gender and the chumra not to do a napar not lechatchila in any case, those are both chumras. You're not going to add two chumras together to say you can't do it. So, if a person has macaroni or anything parv for that matter that he wants to add cheese into, he's allowed to lechatchila use a fleishig einay ben yomei pot to cook it and then add cheese. However, the Chachmas Adam disagrees. The Chachmas Adam is in Klal Mem Ches and Sif Beis. He says, you can't do that lechatchila. Exactly what the minig is, ask your local Orthodox rabbi if the case comes up, but in many cases, many poskim will be makel on this. So getting back to our donut case, if the pot was an einay ben yomei, so then everybody would agree that now you're allowed to add in that dairy caramel or that dairy custard. The question now becomes, can you continue frying more donuts in the same oil, knowing that your pot is an einay ben yomei of fleishigs? It was used for meat in the past, but not within the past 24 hours. Can I now lechatchila fry more donuts in that pot, knowing I want to add a dairy caramel or a dairy custard to it? The answer is, according to the Chachmas Adam, no. According to the Bir Hagra, according to the Vilna Gaon, the answer is yes. And if it becomes practically relevant, one should speak to a Rav. But again, the answer usually will be depending on the need, as the Chachmas Adam himself says that on Erev Shabbos, in certain cases, it would be mutter to do that. But that really concludes that part of the Shir. We'll come to some of the other details in the Shaila next week.